If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Psalms 119, chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. It's been a tremendous, tremendous day already. The Sunday school and the singing. The fellowship with the saints of God has been wonderful this morning, and we're grateful for His presence among us. In Psalm 119, I want to read 8 verses, and I don't know exactly how it's going to go today, but I've got an idea that we might take part of these verses this morning and part of them tonight. I'll just leave that up to the Lord. In verse 25, the psalmist, and just about everyone agrees, there are a few exceptions, but just about everyone agrees that David is the writer. We know the Holy Spirit is the writer, but just about everyone believes that David is the human instrument that God used to pen down Psalms 119. Personally, I believe that because I believe there's so many life lessons taught in Psalm 119 that David wasn't teaching us or sharing with us because of something that he had heard or because of something that he had read in a book, but it was something that he had experienced in his own life, in his walk with God. I want you to remember before I even read the first verse that God declared David to be a man after his own heart. I think it's a mistake sometimes when we look at someone that's in a valley, or we look at someone that's in a storm, or even we look at someone that's involved in some, Brother Brian, besetting sin, or it just looks like not only do they have a coat on, but all the pockets are full of lead, and it looks like they can't even hardly put one foot in front of the other. And sometimes, I think, to be fair, all of us might take a half a step back and wonder, does that individual even know the Lord? I guarantee you that in this congregation, there's people that in their lives have taken a half a step back and looked in the mirror and said, how could someone that knows the Lord get in this condition, get in this shape? Now you say, preacher, I've never experienced that. I'm glad for you. David did. And I want to share with you what God has put in my heart. In Psalm 119, verse 25, he said, my soul cleaveth unto dust. Let me take my time this morning. Can I do that? David said, my soul. That's that innermost man. It wasn't just his flesh that was giving him a problem. It was that inner man that was giving him a problem. I thought about, Brother John, you mentioned to me several months ago how that Paul said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's true. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. I'm going to ask a question. You can help me right here. Participate with me just a little bit. How many have ever felt like you was less than a conqueror? And that instead of being a conqueror, you were being conquered. Is anybody there? Now, David says here, my soul cleaveth. Is that what it said? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. It doesn't sound like he's quoting verses like the Apostle Paul. When Paul said this, he said, now thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you get into Romans chapter number 7, the Apostle Paul, when he gets down to the business, it's what's going on in his innermost man. He said, the things I would not do, I do. And the things I would do, I do not. And he cries out in the end of chapter 7, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I forgot something. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's what he said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And then he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What he is saying is that Jesus is my only hope for deliverance. And I want to share with you today, as we'll read the scripture, then we'll come back. But I want to preach a little while this morning on this subject, deliverance from the dust. Deliverance from the dust. The psalmist David said, my soul cleaveth unto dust. And then he said this, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck. That reminds me of something old timers used to say. We need some of that Holy Ghost, stick 'em. Amen. David said, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run. Look at that, Brother Brian. I didn't even notice that was there until just now. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I want to concentrate on just these first few verses this morning, if I may. And hopefully God will speak to our hearts. Hopefully God will help us to be honest this morning with Him and with ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning, and it's all because you first loved us. Lord, we thank you for our Savior that went to a cross and gave his life, shed his blood, that we might live, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, Father, this morning I know that what I'm about to preach could be misunderstood. I pray the Holy Spirit would not allow confusion, Lord, but that you would make it clear in our hearts. Our Lord, even as God's people, how frail that we are. And how, Lord, that the Apostle Paul said we have no confidence in the flesh. I pray, dear God, this morning that you would help us to glean truth that would transform our lives as a child of God. Lord, peradventure, there's someone here that's never met the Savior, doesn't know that their sin is under the blood of Jesus, doesn't know the Lord of a surety that heaven will be their home when they die. I pray, God, this might be the day you would deal with them and speak to their heart that they might trust the Lamb of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Deliverance from the dust. That's what I want to talk about. Just by way of introduction, let me say a few things about the psalm. The psalm is alphabetical. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And this psalm is broken up into 22 different sections and 8 verses in each section. And I just wanted to make sure. So I got out my little phone with a calculator on it, and I did 8 times 22 equals 176. Sure enough, I looked over at the end of the chapter, and there are 176 verses in the book of Psalms. 8 in each little segment. 8 in the Word of God is the number of new beginning. And I thought about, I didn't plan it this way, but we are in the beginning of a new year. A new beginning. And I believe God wants to speak to our hearts. I believe that this portion, it would be the letter D in the alphabetical letter. And I believe this portion of the psalm is a singing of depression, depression in the dust, a depressing situation. And it gives us a spirit of devotion, a spirit of determination, and a spirit of dependence. The theme of the entire psalm is the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. And God's backing us up from last Sunday there, amen. The Word of God in our life. Brother Brian, I wept. I wept when I sat back there beside Miss Eve. When our precious Sunday school teacher told of sitting with a flashlight in a car and reading the Word of God 45 minutes to an hour before he went into work. I would almost guarantee you that including pastor, if we'd look closely, there was a time in our life when we loved that book. Maybe a little more than we love it today. We didn't take it for granted. We didn't take God's word for granted. And I hope that today the Lord will help us looking at deliverance from the dust. The Bible said, my soul cleaveth on the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Let me give you some things here this morning. Just trying to introduce the message. We'll get right into three little things today. This morning in the message. Come back tonight. First of all, dust speaks of death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. And in Adam over in Genesis 3:19, the Bible said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. So dust speaks of death. And then let me give you this. Dust also speaks of defeat. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen to this in Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. What did the serpent do? Satan entered into the serpent, and the serpent beguiled Eve. And she gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And mankind was plunged into sin, as we know it today. And God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, and you're going to crawl on your belly, you're going to crawl in the dust. Watch what it said here. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Let me say something to you this morning. I want to try to paint a picture here. If I was a little bit more flexible than I am, I'd lay down on my belly right now and try to crawl like a snake. But I can't do that too good. Amen. Some of these teenagers know them moves. Amen. I don't know them. Amen. But let me say this to you. Every one of us that would be honest would say that in our Christian experience, there have been some days when we was more like that serpent crawling in the dust than we were standing upright as a man of God and as a child of God. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, the psalmist here, David, the man after God's own heart, is sharing with us truth that can help us to be honest with ourselves. There's no doubt, my friend, listen, God wants us to stand up. God wants us to speak up. God wants us to walk in a righteous manner and walk by faith and walk with Him. But I'm just trying to tell you, listen, this Bible said a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Some people act like a just man can never fall, never go down, never be in the dust. But David experienced that in his life. I believe there was a time in David's life when you could have said, David, how are you doing? David would have said, I'm lower than a snake's belly. The dust is cleaving unto me. The question this morning is, how do you get delivered from a situation like that? How do you get out of a situation like that? Can there be deliverance? Is there a way out? Let me just say this to you this morning. Achan was defeated. You know what happened? He got to cleave into the dust. I went back and looked up the verse, Brother Gale. Here's what it said. When I saw Joshua 7:21, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight. Then I look at that word, weight. I mean, just look at it. Here's a man that's on God's team, in God's army, and he's got a bunch of stuff buried in the dust in his tent that's not supposed to be there. And a whole people, entire nation of Israel, is going to experience defeat. You say, preacher, that's just not fair. You take that up with God. I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I've seen in the ministry that don't seem fair. And I'll tell you what God would say to us this morning. We're a bunch of individuals, but we make up a body. And every individual needs to be careful that we don't harm the body of Christ. Amen. In this place. My soul cleaveth. Achan was defeated. He clinged to that which was forbidden. He clinged to that which was temporal. He hung on to it. When Hebrews 12 said, lay aside. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You say, preacher, I tell you, I believe it'd be hard to get in a shape like David. Really? Really? You really believe that? I'm going to tell you, none of us are exempt. We see homes that are in trouble. And so my home never be in trouble like that. I tell you, I'd be careful. Somebody said, I heard it on a tape a while back, said everybody knows how to raise teenagers till you have one. Amen. I thought I knew a whole lot more about it until my children become teenagers. Help me right there. Everybody in here has got a soul. And there's a part of everybody in here that wants to cleave to the dust. God wants us to turn loose of the dust, turn loose of the temporal, turn loose of that would hinder us, and take hold of the things of God by faith that would help us. Dust speaks of defeat. Dust speaks of death. Deliverance. Let's talk about that for just a few minutes this morning. How does deliverance come? Deliverance from the dust. First of all, I see that deliverance comes through His Word. In verse number 25, the second part of the verse, David said, quicken thou me. That word quicken means to make alive. If dust is speaking of death, then deliverance is to be made alive. There's a time of renewal. There's a time of revival. That's what the Word of God will do. It will quicken us and help us to be alive to the things of God. It represents a new beginning. Not only does deliverance come through the Word of God, but deliverance comes through wisdom. You say, preacher, where did you see that? Look here in verse number 26. He said, I have declared my ways. I'm trying to remember a verse now. It's in one of the minor prophets. I believe it might have been in the book of Amos, but I'm not sure about that when it said, consider your ways. It's in one of those minor prophets. It might be in the book of Haggai. I can't recall it right now, but it's there. Consider your ways. And deliverance comes through the Word of God, but deliverance comes when we have enough wisdom to understand. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom takes knowledge and puts it in action, using it in a right way. Wisdom. David's wisdom is declared here, and we see it in his confession. He said, I have declared my ways. We see it in his cleansing. He said, thou heardest me. Listen, I believe with all of my heart, the Bible said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We say that we have no sin. I got it written down here. We deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse of scripture was not written to a sinner man. That was written to the children of the living God. In 1 John chapter number 1. There's a confession when we have wisdom. The Bible said, if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God the wisdom that comes from above. My friend, it's not sensual. It's not devilish. But it's wisdom that helps us to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. We see a confession. We see a cleansing. I can remember years ago, I was thinking about dust. I thought about two things right quick. I thought about Brother Gary when we were working over in the fellowship hall, sanding sheetrock. And if you think Brother Gary's white now, you ought to see him when he's involved in sanding sheetrock. I mean, he had that dust all over him. I thought about that, and then I thought about the days in my life when I was a welder, a fabricator. You put on a clean uniform and you go to work, but when you get home, it's anything but clean. You're involved with a grinder, and that grinding dust is getting all over you. You're laying down in a dirty concrete floor sometimes, welding up underneath of something. And I'm just telling you, there were days that I just absolutely could not wait to get home and get that mess off and get in a shower and put on some clean clothes. That dust, that smoke, that smell, it just doesn't belong on a human being. I'll say this, if we'll be honest, there's some things that just don't belong on a child of God. David would say that too. I've said this often, I'll say it one more time. I'm glad I don't have to go through a list of things when I make a statement like that, because I might miss yours, but the Holy Ghost never misses. He always puts his thumb right on it. Amen? He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what's cleaving to us and what needs to be laid aside. Deliverance comes through his word. Deliverance comes through wisdom. Not only is in wisdom is there confession. In wisdom there's cleansing. But thank God, listen to this. This is important. In wisdom there's confidence. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look what he said here. Thou heardest me. Then he said, teach me thy statutes. The psalmist David had confidence that the word of God would help him in his situation, through his situation, and out of his situation on the other side. He had confidence. The Bible said over there in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In verse number 27, he said, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. David had a confidence in God. That another way of saying that is having faith in God. You know, listen to me carefully. Sometimes it's easier to have faith, even when we're praying for someone else, maybe about a health issue, maybe about a financial issue, maybe about a family issue. Sometimes, Brother Johnny, when it's us, and it's a dust problem, we have trouble having confidence that he does love us. And that he has not cast us off. And that he does want to Help us. Some preaching makes it sound like God is in heaven and he's got a big stick and he can't wait to hit you. I'll tell you, the God that we serve this morning is in heaven, and he does hate sin, but he can't wait to help you. Our Lord, as he walked up and down the face of this earth, he spent his life not condemning people. They were condemned already, but helping people out of their condemnation, out of their dust. Even saved people. You say, preacher, I don't understand how you could preach like that. I mean, he's got an idea how I could preach like that. God, you can forgive him. But I tell you, Lord, I just don't know if you can do that for me or not. Deliverance from the dust. There's the deliverance that comes through his word. There's the deliverance that comes through wisdom. And then let me give you this morning. You remember over there in Psalm 51, I'm not going to go through the whole psalm, but Psalm 51 is where David, couple of things happened in that psalm. Number one, he was thoroughly honest. He laid it all on the table. He said, against thee and thee only. Brother Sam, he didn't say anything about his shortcomings. He talked about his sin. Help me right there. That's how we pray sometimes. Amen. You know, Lord, I've got some shortcomings here. I tell you, David just got real good and honest. He said, Lord, my sin is ever before me. And against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. But when you come down there to the end of the chapter, towards the end, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You come on down, and David said, restore unto me the joy. Now listen, if I was young, I'd illustrate, but I can't do that. I can't crawl around here on my belly. Amen. What David was saying is this: I'm tired of crawling around down here in this dust. I want to stand up again. I want to be counted for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want my life to count. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then he said this, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. That brings me to the last point in the message today, where David, in the psalm, we see that deliverance from the dust, it comes through the word of God, it comes through wisdom, but it comes through the witness. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Look at verse 27 with me again. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Watch this now. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Brother Brian, I appreciate you. Brother Brian says when he teaches, he says, you know, I guess I'm all I got to talk about, you know, just me and Kim and Maggie and Jesse and Louise. That's all I got to, I mean, you know what I mean. He uses his family. I love it. I enjoy it. I enjoy his humility and his honesty. But I know not only the word, if that word cools off, but I'm asking you, you can nod at me, but back yonder when that flashlight is 45 minutes or an hour before work, that witness is red hot to it. You just can't wait. You're actually looking for opportunities for God to open a door that you might say something for his kingdom and be a witness to someone along the way. As I was preparing to preach, I was thinking about yesterday. I went over to the gun show yesterday at Meadowview. And when I came out, a little bit after lunch, there was a big, burly police officer standing there. And I said, "Sir, are you with security here at Meadowview, or are you with the Kingsport Police Department?" And he said, "I'm with the Kingsport Police Department." And Brother Rose, I stood there and talked to that man probably for 4 or 5 minutes. And I accomplished something, I think. But Brother Ralph, I missed the main thing. Y'all don't ever do that, do you? Now, I'm talking about when I was preparing to preach, the Holy Ghost told me. Said, "You know, you got accomplished what you went over there, but you missed the main thing." I went over there, Brother Teddy, to tell that man how much I appreciated him. How many knows that law enforcement's under attack in our country? And they're being treated like dirt. People marching down the street, calling them pigs. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. How many knows what I'm talking about? There's something that needs to be fried in this country, but it ain't the police force. And it will fry one day after a while. You mark her down. Police officers aren't perfect. We shouldn't expect them to be. But we ought to be thanking God somebody's willing to put on that badge and go out there and put their life on the line to protect us. And Brother Steve, that's what I shared with that man probably for 4 or 5 minutes. How much I appreciated him. I did ask him at the end of the conversation. I said, "Do you know Steve Hammonds?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "I was Steve's pastor years ago." He said, "Well, preacher, that's good enough. That's a good witness." Well, I tell you, that ain't what God said early this morning. God said, "Brother Rose, you could have looked at me and said, what if somebody shot you? Where would you be, sir?" Sometimes we get involved in a good thing and we miss the best thing. You say, "Preacher, what's your problem?" Same as yours. Dust. Cleaves, don't it, Brother Steve? It cleaves. My soul, David said, cleaveth unto the dust. I don't know about you this morning. But I understand and know. I didn't have time, Brother Brian. Brother Brian talks kind of fast. He not only writes in an unknown pen, but he sounds like a Yankee sometimes when he's up there talking. I mean, he gets on a roll, buddy. And he was going through that list of things, but maybe this afternoon sometime, Brother Brian, go down through your list and see how many of them pertain to the dust. That which is temporal. That which is earthly. That which is fleshly. That's trying to stick like glue to every one of us. The psalmist David said he experiences deliverance. Deliverance through God's word. Boy, God's putting an emphasis on his word, didn't he? Start this year off. How we need his word. Deliverance through wisdom. That's not just reading the word, but that's taking what you read and applying it in your life. Taking that knowledge and applying it in a right way. And then deliverance through our witness. Boy, I tell you, God's blessing our church. But I tell you, if God would just, maybe some people come in this altar and say, "God, make me a witness this year.
God, forgive me, like I've asked Him to already today, for missing that opportunity. Maybe I'll get it again. That's my prayer. That could go a little further. Get to talk to that man about the main thing. Maybe that man knows Jesus. I don't know right now whether he does or not. I told him a story about driving from Kingsport to Wise, first church I pastored. 72 miles an hour, going through Big Stone Gap. Not a good idea. I came over here, Brother Dennis, to visit with the man that had checked himself in the hospital for gallbladder surgery. Didn't have any clothes, didn't have anything to shave with. He didn't have anything. And so I went to Kmart and bought him a bunch of stuff and brought it back to him. And it made me late getting back up there to pick up my children at school. My wife was sewing clothes at Buster Brown. And instead of doing the common sense thing and using a little wisdom and getting, I didn't have a cell phone, I don't think anybody did at that time, but instead of just getting on the phone at the hospital and calling somebody, there was a dozen people in my church that would have been glad to pick up my children. You say, well, preacher, what got in the way there? How many knows how to spell it? P-R-I, huh? And I told this police officer, I'll never forget his name, Willis. He said, how can you remember that? His badge was shiny. I let Officer Willis write the ticket. Brother Ralph, I didn't try to explain my way out of anything. I was guilty as a low-down hound dog. Amen. I let him write his ticket. And when he got done, I said, Officer Willis, I want to say something to you. I said, I'm the pastor, and I told him where I was a pastor. I said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, but I am ashamed of the way I was driving. Then I told him the story, and then I thanked him for doing his job. He took a half a step back and said, you don't find many attitudes like that on the road. I said, sir, I'm in the wrong. You're in the right. And I thank God you're out there and willing to. Now, this was years ago. Probably 1990. That'd be a bunch of years ago, wouldn't it? 26 years ago. And I was telling that story. But Brother Ralph, where we need to get to is like the song. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. It's all right, Sister Danita, when we get to heaven, God's going to let me sing you one. I'm going to say, make her sit down there, Lord. Let me sing her one. Amen. My soul cleaveth to the dust. Deliverance. How many believes there's deliverance from the dust? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the Bible. Not just the Word of God, but Lord, the God of the Word that lives in our heart and in our life. It could be this morning, Lord, that there's somebody here that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin. It could be, Lord, that there's some of your children here, maybe many, Lord, that needs to lay aside a weight or some sin that does so easily beset them. Lord, the shame this morning would not be in admitting it and confessing it, but the shame would be to act like nothing's wrong when we know in our heart that our soul is cleaving onto the dust. I ask you this morning, Lord, to work in a special way in this invitation.